concerning Christ and his resurrection. I know this isn't Easter Sunday. We're past that. And I'm not trying to start a new fad or anything like that. But in my, Brother Burgess, in my personal praying and study, and I've been challenged, the New Testament church thrived as they preached on the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I don't think I'm anybody special here tonight, by no means. You've heard me preach enough. You've heard me flop. You have. And tonight may be another check on that box. I don't know. Amen. But I want to preach to you on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our churches could experience revival if we turned our eyes again to a resurrected Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Praise God. I was reading something. This is just something to tell you real quick. A group of college students toured the slums of a city. One of the girls, seeing a little girl playing in the dirt, asked a guide, "Why doesn't her mother clean her up?" "Madam," he replied, "that girl's mother probably loves her, but she doesn't hate dirt. You hate dirt, but you don't love her enough to go down there and clean her up. Until hate for dirt and love for that child are in the same person, that little girl is likely to remain the same." Aren't you glad Jesus loved you and hated dirt? Praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad that he loved you and hated sin? Hated the filthiness of iniquity and immorality? That love for us and the hate for dirt were found in the same person, and that person being Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn with me. I guess this thing's on. Is it on? Praise the Lord. Amen. I want you to turn with me first in your Bibles. I hope I don't bore you here tonight. I really don't. I want you to turn with me. Go with me first to the book of Luke, chapter 24. If it gets too bad, one of you guys just throw a life preserver. If Brother Ben was here, I'd tell him to whistle real loud. Or the I should have. Should have seen the light glistening. Yeah, that whistle ain't coming now. Praise God. Hey, man, Luke chapter, I better move on. I'm nervous. I've been with you folks a lot, but I'm just beside myself nervous tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 24, and then I'm going to go to John chapter number 20. I'd like to see somebody get saved. If there's somebody here that's not saved tonight. Amen. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. I'm going to stop right there. It came to pass as they were much perplexed. John chapter number 20. I need the Holy Ghost to help. It's strange to me that I would almost feel out of place to preach on the resurrection. I think, and I'm not blaming this on you at all. Please don't get me wrong, but I think we have so designated it to one day, to one service. Amen. God help us. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I'm going to stop right there. You may be seated here tonight. In Luke's recording of the resurrection, we see where it says, and it came to pass, they were perplexed. They were brokenhearted. They were about as down and out as you could possibly be. Amen. The book of John, when Mary Magdalene come to the tomb to see Jesus. Now, you talk about a dirty woman. Man, Mary Magdalene was a filthy individual. But God loved her enough. Amen. And she was so overwhelmed by that love. She was the first one to go see about him. And we read in the book of John that when she got there, the Bible records, and it was yet dark. It was the early part of the morning before the sun had really, you know how it is, you fellas that hunt when you're out in the woods and the sun is just coming up, but it's that dawn time when you really can't see anything, you can't make anything out. Amen. I'm going to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes on from broken dreams to the break of day. Amen. One day my physical body shall be claimed by earth and all its mocking. It does not matter who I am, death shall come a knocking. Corruption and decay shall seek to utterly consume me, and on that day I'll know full well the journey to eternity. When I'm forced to go away from this earth and all its shiver, I'll come to a crossing in that hour, it's called the Jordan River. As I approach its slippery banks, my decision already made, I'll know no fear of what shall come, for I know that I'm saved. Many shall succumb to its angry waves and perish in its fury. But as for me, I shall stand strong, even though I am so weary. The angels shall be there to accompany me to heaven's shore, and the former tears and pains will again haunt me no more. Yes, one day my physical body shall be claimed by earth and all its mocking. It will not matter where I am, death shall come a-knocking. Corruption and decay shall seek to utterly consume me. But weep not, friends, for now I know full well my Jesus and his victory. Hallelujah. At death, you will become a victim or you will be a victor. Eternity one day will call all of us. And on that day, whether you go the way of the earth, or whether Jesus comes while your feet are still on this ground, you shall either die a victim or you will die a victor. Amen. Resurrection is a Bible doctrine. I'm not here to give you a doctrinal dissertation. Brother James was a teacher. He would be far better at that than I ever could. There's a reason I've never been a teacher. Amen. But it is a Bible doctrine, a teaching that was brought under much scrutiny in the New Testament. And even since then, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been challenged. But there are some things that go hand in hand. I want to talk to you tonight on the resurrection of Christ and its implications unto the saints of God. Amen. And what it means for those of us who are born again, who have been created and made anew. And I prayed before service this afternoon. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, amen, how uncertain I am and how fearful I am. And I remembered as I was praying, Brother Kendrick, that around this time, 12 years ago, as a 16-year-old boy, I preached my first message in Fredonia, Alabama at a youth camp. And I found myself Brother Armbrister, a little janitor's closet at that youth camp was the only place I could get away. And I got into that closet and I began to pray. And this don't make sense, but I really didn't know how a preacher ought to pray. I really didn't know what you're supposed to say before you got up to preach. And so the only thing I remember saying to the Lord was, Lord, would you please hold my hand? Amen. And let the Holy Ghost. And 12 years later, Brother Dickey in the prayer room at the House of Prayer this afternoon asking God to help us. I said, Lord, this is about the 12th year anniversary of my attempt to preach. And the only thing I know to do 12 years later is once again ask you to hold my hand. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost. And so resurrection, amen, it has great implications upon the saints. Amen. There are certain things that go hand in hand. The resurrection, the rapture, the being called away, going to be with Jesus in the air. And I know there are those that say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, so there's no sense in believing in the rapture of the church. But I like what Brother Richard Crane said. Some of you may know Brother Crane. Somebody approached him with that statement one day, and I promise I'm gonna let you get to Joe over there in the fellowship hall. Amen. But what somebody asked him one time and said, well, rapture ain't even in the Bible. Why do you believe in it? And his response was, well, neither is Memphis, Tennessee, but it's on the map. Amen. You just have to know Brother Richard Crane to appreciate him saying that. Amen. But though it may not be in the Bible per se, amen, resurrection, rapture, amen, all of these things have great implications to us who are saved and born again. Amen. The religious sect of the New Testament were bitter adversaries of the doctrine of the resurrection. Amen. But in actuality, saints, the very foundation of Christianity is built solely upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are other gods that have been worshipped. They worship Confucius and Muhammad and different. I remember up at Bible school, we and Brother Don Van Zandt, Brother James may have been there. We went to the temple of Sri Sai Baba, a god that these Hindus worship there in Pennsylvania. Everybody's got their own god, and they tell me that monks over in China, these Shaolin monks, they have their own revivals, and they perform what appears to be miracles, and they pierce each other with swords, and they don't bleed, and so the devil has a way of mimicking, amen, anything that is right. But there's one thing no other god of this world has been able to mimic, and that is the resurrection of their physical body. Hallelujah. So amen to those who say there is no stock and there is no truth and there is nothing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight. I know I'm not preaching anything profound or deep. Amen. But I'm thrilled in my spirit to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If there is no resurrection, there be no healing. You had a healing service this morning, I hear. Amen. It's a shame to talk about the healing services of Oral Roberts Day and those men. Amen. But if there be no resurrection, there be no healings like you experienced today. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. If there is no resurrection, there is no heaven. Amen. Everything that you and I believe in tonight, everything we put our hope and our trust in, is solely hinged upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have no faith if there was no resurrection. I have no joy if there was no resurrection. Amen. I'm not trying to be somebody tonight. Amen. But I want to do my part to point our eyes back to a resurrected Christ. Amen. We're left to wander in a state of hopeless confusion without the fulfillment of a resurrected Christ. We are orphans if he be not raised from the dead. Amen. This is, and I got to hurry here tonight. Please help me, Lord. The condition we find the disciples of Christ in, along with the women that were closest to him. First thing I'd like to talk to you tonight about, and I'm going to hurry through this,
is the peril of the indescribable darkness that we find the disciples in. Galatians 4:4 said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." There was a time fixed in heaven. Amen. God knew all along when Jesus would come. There was a time fixed in glory that He would send His only begotten, amen, into this world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And concerning the hour in which the Son of Man was birthed into this world, it was a godless time. Amen. We think it's bad now. Amen. You study out about how it was when Jesus came into this world. It was a bad, bad time. Amen. Men did not love God. Men loved evil. They loved darkness. Amen. Concerning the hour in which He came into this world, there was a spiritual darkness. There was a moral darkness, a social darkness. Darkness had cloaked and blanketed this world. Amen. There was no light. Amen. Men did not see truth, and they did not behold righteousness, because darkness had encompassed the world upon which men walked. Hallelujah. But then here comes Jesus, and Jesus is the one who is supposed to be the breaker of the dark. Amen. The one who is to dispel the dark. Amen. And usher in men to a life of light. Amen. But we read here in the Bible, Jesus has come. Jesus has lived His life. Amen. Jesus is. Amen. Jesus has preached, and miracles have been performed, and we find in the book of John, chapter 20. Amen. Now Jesus is gone. Amen. And Mary Magdalene runs to the tomb when it is yet dark. I believe it was dark in more ways than one. When Mary Magdalene went to the tomb that day, it was more than just a physical darkness. Amen. It was a godless time. Society was at a peak of immorality. Religion was nothing more than a cesspool of hypocrisy. And the faith of the people was at an all-time low. Amen. Isaiah has prophesied. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Isaiah has prophesied of him. Amen. Ezekiel has pointed men to Calvary. Amen. There are men like Malachi. Amen. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Amen. They have all preached and prophesied of this one that was to come. Amen. That would dispel the darkness. Amen. And create a great light. And Jesus came. There was the fulfillment of that. Amen. But now it seems, Brother Darrell, amen, that the adversary of their soul, the enemy, amen, has overcome. And darkness has conquered the light. Amen. And everything that they hoped in, everything they trusted in, is now taken away from them. Amen. You talk about indescribable darkness. Can you imagine having walked with Him? Can you imagine having been there at His first miracle when He turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana? Can you imagine having been there, Brother Ratliff, when He, amen, when He called that widow's son from Nain up, amen, and spoke life back into that young boy? Can you imagine having been there? Amen. When the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment. Amen. You talk about putting your trust in something. You talk about putting your hope. Amen. Here is the light. Amen. Here is the light. He's among us. He's walking with us. Amen. We're sitting down with Him to eat. We're gathered around a campfire with Him. And now all of a sudden, amen, everything we hoped in has been ripped away from us. It's dark. It's dark. Amen. It is dark. Amen. The death of Christ for those that followed Him was an indescribable plunge into a dark abyss from which there would seem to be no rescue. This is the one, God, I wish I could preach better to you tonight. This is the one, amen, who was supposed, he's the cure-all. Amen, he's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. Hallelujah. But his life has been taken away in that old conqueror death. He's claimed all of the prophets. He's claimed all of the preachers. Amen. There's been a lot of pastors stand before us behind their pulpits and talk about this one that was to come and how he would banish darkness and conquer death. And now here he is. He's come. And that old conqueror death has taken him away from us. Amen. He sunk his old dirty claws unto Jesus Christ and pulled him down into the grave. Amen. The next thing I would like to talk to you about tonight, amen, is the pain of their immediate defeat. From what I've studied, a six-hour trial is about all it was. If I'm not mistaken, they come and took Jesus at night and held trial, which was illegal. It wasn't a proper trial. It wasn't a just trial. Amen. But has the devil ever done anything right? Has he ever done anything good? Amen. So here they come. Oh, praise God, to take Jesus away. And brother, they're there with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in a 6-hour time frame, amen, he is taken away from them. He is presented to Pilate. I don't know. Amen. It may have been nothing more than a couple of days. Amen. That Jesus hung on the cross. I don't know. Amen. But how quickly was Christ taken away from them? A three and a half year ministry. Amen. You see, the cause of Christ had been launched just a few years before with such promise. Amen. Things looked great. Miracles were being performed and people were getting saved and coming to Jesus and coming to Christianity. Amen. But in an instant, in a sudden, amen, it comes to an abrupt end. Has that ever happened in your life? Amen. Things were going well and things were going right. Amen. But abruptly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, amen, that joy come to an abrupt end. That happiness and that peace come to an abrupt end. Amen. But never, I don't feel, has my abrupt end been as severe as it was for those men that walked alongside of Jesus Christ. Look at this a little closer. This isn't just the death of a Messiah. This is the death of a friend. I'm boring some of you. I know I am. I know it. Man. Savior, Messiah, but friend, brother, son, gone, taken away. Hallelujah. Every time that hammer struck that nail, a little bit of that believer was nailed with it. Man. Hallelujah. Man, when they rolled that stone over that tomb, man, I've been at funerals. The worst part of that funeral, Brother Dickie Tolliver, is when they lower that casket into the ground. Because that's the last time you're ever going to see them. That's it. That's it. That's the final time. Oh, God, I wish I could preach to you. Man. Hallelujah. Brother, can I get a little more of these monitors up here? Amen. Hallelujah. I've watched them go into the ground. I've watched a grandmother of mine that I spoke of today to my wife. Amen. Who, if it not had not been for my Granny Bennett, my dad probably would have never got into church. But I watched Alzheimer's as it claimed her life. And I watched, amen, as my Uncle Ricky, who was her son, who was at the time about 40 years old and had the mind of a 3-year-old, didn't understand anything, brother. He was mentally challenged. And I watched just as they went to lower her into the ground, somehow he began to comprehend something. And he ran. He ran and jumped on top of that casket. And the only thing he could say was, Ma. Man, you talking about breaking your heart. Hey, man, something clicked in that mentally handicapped mind that says, this is it. I'll never see her again. Amen. When they rolled the stone, oh, help me, Holy Ghost, over Jesus' tomb, it wasn't just the death of a burial of a son. It wasn't just the burial of a friend or a brother. It was the burial of every hope they ever had, and man would be redeemed. Amen. It was the burial of every hope they ever had, and man would be restored. Amen. Back to a rightful relationship with Jesus Christ. It was the burial of a future. It was the burial of a dream. It was the burial of joy and happiness. Amen. The stone was rolled over the tomb. The pain of their immediate defeat. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark. You read there on in the book of Luke chapter 24. The men on the road to Emmaus. Amen. Their dreams have been destroyed. Cast into a million pieces. So brokenhearted. For these disciples, they were destroyed. Amen. And it would only get darker with each passing day. I'm hurrying here tonight. I got to get you out of here. Amen. There has probably never been in history a group of people who felt more defeated, dispirited, or dejected. Amen. Than those 12 apostles and those women who followed closely unto Jesus Christ. It's bad. It's bad. Resurrection is new beginning. And for some of you here tonight, it's been bad. It's been dark. And you have felt the blow of an immediate defeat. But resurrection's implication for you is you can have a new beginning. You can have a new beginning. Amen. So we see the peril of their indescribable darkness. We see the pain of their immediate defeat. But Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Let me tell you this. Jesus did not cast himself upon the care of the crowd. But he said, I will raise it up again. So here we see the power of his inevitable dawning. Pharisees, Sadducees, you don't believe. You're calling me a liar. You're telling me I'm full of the powers of Beelzebub. Amen. But what you don't understand is this is all inevitable. You have no control over what's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You are laughing now as you see me stretched between heaven and earth. But you really had no control over that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, he allowed those soldiers to place those cuffs upon his wrists and carry him out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. For if he had so chosen to, amen, he'd have never had to call a legion of angels. All he'd have had to have done was spoken a word unto them. Amen. But they had no control. Amen. He said unto them, amen, destroy it. Kill me. Do whatever you want to do. But I will. Thank God for the I will. I will raise it up. I will return. I will come back, said the Lord. the power of His inevitable dawning. Put me in the tomb, but the tomb can't hold me. Wrap my body in grave clothes, but they're not going to keep me down. Hallelujah. I've got some prophecies to fulfill. I've got a mission I've got to accomplish. I've got a work I've got to do. I've got a ministry to fulfill. It did not end in my death. Amen. It did not end in my death. But it really only begins at my resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Me in that day thought it ended with the death of Christ. But it was really only the beginning of a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Sloppy Joe's looking better all the time, ain't they? Hey. In Christ, I'm going to take your approach, Sister Brittany. I'm going to slow down and talk. Because screaming ain't getting me nowhere. In His death, the destroyer is destroyed. I want you to get this. I'm getting ready to close. Since death only has dominion over those who are born sinners or who have sinned, Satan had no right to take the life of Jesus Christ. It wasn't his property. It didn't belong to him. Who had never sinned, nor was he born a sinner. So what happened is the devil committed an unlawful murder against someone who did not belong to him. Amen. And that was according to the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus allowed the devil. Jesus allowed the devil to bruise his heel. He allowed the devil to bruise his heel, only that in return he might bruise his head. Satan bruised him once, but Jesus is still bruising his head. Hallelujah. I said he's still bruising his head. Amen. Satan thought he had him at Calvary. Amen. I really believe with all my heart Satan thought he had defeated Jesus Christ. I don't think Satan has enough infinite knowledge, amen, to believe what Jesus had planned. I believe Satan thought he had him destroyed. Amen. But the ultimate plan of God, amen, Satan thought it was checkmate. Amen. But Christ said, I'm going to allow you to bruise my heel in order that I might bruise your head. The bruising of his head, the implications it has on you and I. Amen. It really means this, that if I'm a child of God, amen, if I am born again, if I am a believer, amen, in Jesus Christ, if I have been adopted into the family of God, though my trial and my hardship, it may seem severe and it may seem as though it is utterly going to destroy me, it's really no further up than my heel. You hear what I'm telling you? Amen. It looks like it's going to wipe me out, but it really ain't no further up than my heel. Amen. For if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, hallelujah, the resurrected Spirit of an ascended Christ, if it dwell in you, the same power, the same anointing, the same Spirit, the same unction will take you from your broken dream, from your decay, your destruction, amen, to the breaking of a new day. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I feel like telling somebody. What you're dealing with right now really ain't no further up than the bottom of your hill. You hear me? Amen. I may have should have just got up here and said that. I'd have saved myself a whole lot of sweating. Amen. What you're dealing with right now really ain't no further up than the bottom of your hill. Amen. But the same Spirit that come on Jesus in the tomb and brought him up out of that place is the same Spirit that'll come on you in this house. Help you to walk out of your valley. Help you to get up from where you are and lead you to a brighter day. Glory! He's a working on my heel, but I'm a working on his head. It ain't, hey man, this ain't theological. He's a working on my heel. Amen. But through the Spirit of a resurrected Christ, amen, I can by that power, by that same Spirit, amen, bruise the head of the devil.
And God shall, amen, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
Amen. I knew he was coming. Saw him out the corner of my eye. Hallelujah. Praise God. I done butchered this message. Amen. But the power of his inevitable dawning. Amen. I'm going to tell you this right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Amen. Let me read this to you. Go ahead and stand up. Go ahead. Get on. Go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. Won't you get this, okay? For the creature. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. Because of Adam's sin, creation was made subject unto vanity and unto sin. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. I want you to be sin. You're a better man than Matt, and I know. But you're sin. And you're a strong guy. I've played football with you, unfortunately. I want you to wrap me up. Let me get up here so I can talk. I'm wrapped up in sin. I'm subjected to vanity. I can't break out of this hold. I really can't.
Come on.
I really can't. Man, I can't break out of this hold because I'm subjected to vanity. Amen. But in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all live. Thank God for the second Adam. Amen. Oh, glory. I wish you was picking up what I'm putting down right now. Amen. Thank God for the second Adam. Because when I was subjected in vanity, as I am creation, there was one. Brother Darrell, being Christ, who was not willing to leave me where I was. So Christ come along. He breaks the bonds. And he wraps me up. And he subjects me in hope.
I'm wrapped up in hope. I'm bound in hope.
You know what hope says? Hey man, it ain't always going to be like it is right now. Amen. Hey man, you know what hope says? It ain't always going to be as dark as it is right now. I know you've been subjected in vanity. I know you've been bound in sin. But because of a resurrection, I'm going to subject you, glory to God, in hope, in life, in resurrection, in a new beginning. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, I always thought that meant that was a groaning of pain. I've preached too long. Groaning of pain. Pains of death. But what that actually is birth pains. Creation. Get this, okay? Creation is waiting to birth the redeemed of the Lord. There's some already in the grave. Creation is groaning within itself. It's waiting for the second resurrection. Amen. It's waiting for the next resurrection. Amen. Oh, I wish I could have preached this better to you to hear tonight. Amen. But Jesus rose. Because He arose. Amen. I shall rise. Amen. And creation is longing. I said creation is longing. Amen. To release them that are sanctified under the care of God Almighty. Amen. I wonder sometimes. Amen. Say, Brother, it's hogwash. I wonder if earthquakes. Amen. Is not creation groaning. Amen. To release unto God them that are sanctified. Them who have been justified for creation itself is waiting for the adoption and the resurrection of the sanctified unto the Lord. I gotta let you go. I feel like kidnapping you, but I gotta let you go. It's longing for the adoption. But we ourselves also, amen, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Sister Norma June Tackett goes to our church, one of the eldest of Ira Roberts' kids. Amen. Brother J.W.'s aunt, wherever you are, Brother J.W., amen. Hallelujah. And so far, four within a year have passed away. Amen. And now it looks like Brother Dan's going to go if God don't work a miracle. Amen. And her sister Marty, who lives across the street from us, amen, is just a few days from going on to be with Jesus. That'll be six within a year, Brother Tony. And you'll sit in church sometimes. We'll sing about heaven. And Sister Norma June wipes the tears away. Those aren't tears of pain. Those are tears. They are a testimony saying, Lord, I'm waiting for the adoption to writ the redemption of my body. Because I've got some loved ones who have gone on before. And I'm ready for You to resurrect me. Brother, You was talking about being sick tonight. There's coming a day. Amen. Whether you go the way of the earth, and I'm fixing to let you go home so you can rest. Amen. But if you go the way of the grave, or if the trumpet sounds, either way, there's coming a resurrection. Amen. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more heartache and no more sorrow. For the former things are passed away. I'm laying down this corruptible body, and I'm taking up that which is incorruptible. I'm laying down this mortality. I'm taking that up, immortality. I'm waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of my body. I want my wife to come. From broken dreams to the break of day. I'm sorry for holding you this long. Brother, for the sake of church, Brother Jonathan Green, a.k.a. Cheeto. There are fault lines that run through Missouri and Oklahoma. I can't see them. I can't see them. But due to the various amount of earthquakes that we've been having, we know that they're there. The ground is separating. There's a shift in the land. This creation is preparing itself for a resurrection. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. And all around me, Brother Dickie, Lord have mercy, brother, I hope to the good Lord on resurrection morning. I'm close enough to you because I believe you're going to let out one of them screams. Amen. I hope I'm close enough to Brother Dickie Tolliver in the resurrection. I hope I'm close enough, amen, to Sister Ruby at our church when she starts shaking that head and lets out one of them Indian war whoops. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Creation is preparing itself for a resurrection. I can't see the fault lines, but I know that they're there because of their manifestation. At the Church of God I grew up in, we had a sister by the name of Granny Polly. Granny Polly couldn't do much, and it sure bothered her when I played a tambourine. Lord have mercy, Jesus, did it bother Granny Polly. We probably got some Granny Pollys in this church right here. Amen. Praise God. If I can't preach good to you, I want to try to make you laugh. But Brother Tony, Granny Polly, she couldn't stand up very long. And somebody'd be down there praying. Brother Armbrister and Granny Polly would come up and sit on the altar beside them. And she'd put that hand on their back. Be it a gentleman or a lady, Granny Polly was old enough to be everybody's grandma. And she's praying with them. And she'd pat their back and she'd run their back, rub their back. And she'd pray. Then all of a sudden, you've heard them preachers. And it was said in Sunday school this morning, I feel resurrection power. I ain't heard a preacher say that in a long time. All of a sudden, Granny Polly would feel resurrection power. And those old crooked, bony fingers that at the most they could do was rub a back. And all of a sudden, something got into them things, high speed. And buddy, they went to clapping. I'm talking Guinness Book of World Record speed clapping. Amen. Them hands went to clapping back and forth. That head went to shaking like that. And she whoop, 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 whoop. I can't do it like she did. Amen. But she'd clap and she'd shake that head and she'd shout for glory. Amen. I'm telling you, I could not with the physical eye see that spirit of resurrection that was within her. Amen. But it began to manifest itself. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? Do us some good in this house tonight to allow the spirit of resurrection to manifest itself. It may manifest through a clap. It may manifest through a run. It may show up in a dance. However it wants to show up. I just would to God the spirit of resurrection would manifest itself in this house and lift us up to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Resurrection power. Resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said resurrection power. Amen. Glory. Resurrection power. So Mary, well, I'm having too much fun. Mary runs to the disciples. And this is basically what she says. Dear disciples, probably with tears running down her face, but smiling at the same time, probably wondering what they's going to think about her. Dear disciple, thy dead Lord, he is Lord still. thy dead Lord. He is Lord still. Amen. Don't weep anymore. Don't fret anymore. He's still the Lord. I'm done. I'm shutting her down. But I come to tell you, He's still the Lord. I said He's still the Lord. Your problem, your trial, is not the end of you. It's just time for resurrection. Come on, church. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Won't you come to this altar with your hands raised? Worshiping, baby, big, dig me out of this hole. Come on, church, worship the Lord. Resurrection power. You can't hold me down. You can't hold me down. I'm laying it down, but I'm going to take it up again. Amen. So one day, them who have been sanctified unto me, them who are justified before me, so I can resurrect them from the grave.
Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow.
Resurrection.
I've been waiting, Lord, to go well. I've been waiting, waiting on that show. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of getting slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Many years I've traveled on this rear road, watch the fleeting changes, try to share some hope. But the finish, steps are mighty slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Falling, steps are getting slow, but I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Steps are falling, steps are getting slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Closer, snow white angel band, while I cross that river to a better land. Open wide the portals, hey, a little slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps getting slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Oh, I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Evening falling, steps are getting slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Many years I've traveled on this weary road. Watch fleeting changes, tried to share some load. Now my work is finished, steps are mighty slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go.
I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled,
ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow. But I've been waiting, Lord, to go. I've been waiting, waiting on that shore. Long I've traveled, ain't gonna travel no more. Shades of evening falling, steps are getting slow. I've been waiting, Lord, to go.
Say one more thing, and I promise you I'm done. But I feel so compelled in my spirit right now. I really do. I feel compelled in my spirit right now of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
I'm not trying to make something happen out of nothing. I promise you, you know me better than that.
Come on.
But for somebody in this house, it's dark.
Come on.
It's real dark. And you feel real defeated. But things are being prepared right now.
Oh, come on.
And the dawning of your new beginning in Christ is inevitable. It's going to happen.
All right.
It's coming.
Come on, come on.
I said it's coming. It's going to happen.
All right.
Hey, man, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. And there is nothing the enemy of your soul can do to prohibit resurrection in your life. It's got a hold of your heel right now. But things are being prepared right now by the foreordained plan of God Almighty. Amen. Creation itself is making a shift. Amen. So that thing that's got a hold of your heel, amen, is going to have to let you go. Amen. So you can be resurrected. Amen. Reborn and renewed under Jesus Christ. Sister Brittany, you're my wife's friend. But under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I know it's a mind battle, but it's really no further up than your heel. You hear what I'm telling you, sister? I know it's a battle of the mind, but it's really no further up than your heel. Amen. And God is where I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sister, God is working things even right now. Amen. There's going to be a shift. Amen. There's going to be a shift in your life. I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now. Amen. There's going to be a shift in your life. Amen. That thing is going to have to let go of your heel. Amen. So you can bruise its head. Shatabaha na 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 mohoto ya bahosila bahaya.